Well, for one last time this Christmas season, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Over the course of the Advent season, we've looked at this baby that is talked about in verse 6 has been born, and this baby that has been given, and yet the titles that describe him go beyond him being a baby to him being the King, our Savior. We've also looked at the different prophecies that stretch all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis 3 on, the promise of an offspring that would come that would crush the head of the serpent. We've also looked at the prophecies in between from as 600 to 400 years before the time of Christ's birth. Prophecies that gave Jesus other names like the branch, the ruler, ancient of days, king, child, savior, dayspring, who would come as that last sacrifice to redeem his people from their sins. At just the right time, confirming and affirming the promises that God has had, his covenantal promises of redemption that he made to his people. But in that same set of passages this morning, we also find another name and title, an identifying marker of God's Son, the Lord of Hosts. So read with me, Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his oppressor, the rod of his oppressor you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Pray with me. Father, hear our prayer. Enlighten our hearts and illumine our minds. Give us faith in proportion to your zeal. Give us power to hear and to do, delivering you the glory that is required. May your truth sink into our souls, and may this be a grace-filled experience from which we rise and do your will to praise you and to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. This time of year, the songs we sing remind us of how strong our God is. The God who came and was fulfilling his word, and the one who will return and fulfill his promise yet again. A covenant-keeping God, to his covenant children, to the very end and into eternity. No wonder we sing joy to the world, the Lord has come, to remind us that he is over all, that he is sovereign, and that he will come again. But these same truths can also be found in the children's hymn, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. I was reading the other day about Karl Barth, and he was asked after all the volumes of theology that he wrote, after all the different papers and different commentaries that he wrote, he was asked, what is the one piece of theology that moves your heart? And he said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Now, I know that Carl had some issues with some of his theology, but when it comes to that, it says it all, to be sure. Almost everything we need to know about the spiritual life is packed in those few words in that children's hymn, reminding us that we are physically frail and spiritually frail, and we are emotionally frail, but we belong to a God who is strong. Mighty God, as we saw in Isaiah 9:6. Our enemies, the devil and the world and our own flesh, are no match for the Lord of hosts. This phrase, Lord of hosts, is used over 250 times in Scripture, and it's usually translated in the English as simply Lord of hosts, or depending upon your version, it could be Lord Almighty. But the Lord of hosts doesn't necessarily instill the same sense of awe from the English that the Hebrew word does. Yahweh, Zabaoth. Just saying it causes you to have to stop, because saying the second part of that really is hard. But it helps us to take a moment to consider. So today we will look at his name, Lord, capital O, capital R, capital D, Yahweh. We will also consider those truths that surround the Lord of hosts. And lastly, we will look at how the Lord of hosts cares for his people. So let's look with a brief look at his name that is written in Scripture as capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Yahweh. Psalm 68:4 says, sing to God, sing to Elohim, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord, Yahweh. Exalt before him. That is, praise him with all that we are, for he is God, and his name is to be exalted above all. Psalm 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. In other words, Yahweh, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to any carved idols. In Exodus 6, we see God's name, Yahweh, used five times in succession, declaring who he is and how he keeps covenant. Yahweh Zabaoth, the Lord of armies, the Lord Almighty. This name is throughout the Bible to distinguish him and to emphasize his power and authority over all creation, Lord Zabaoth. The term Yahweh speaks of his self-existence, his immutability, him being the Lord of our salvation, his sovereignty, his pre-existence even. Yahweh communicates covenantally the desire he has to connect with his children. This is my name. Speak to me whenever you want, and speak my name whenever you want. It's unfortunate that the Jews felt like they couldn't say his name, so they would change Yahweh to Adonai. Now, Adonai is not a bad name in and of itself, except it's not a name, it's a title, it's sovereign one. They would not bring themselves, and yet God gave and delivered his name to Moses and delivered that name to all of us to stay connected with us. Yes, he is self-sufficient, he doesn't need us, but it shows his love for us. But now we move from his name to consider some of the more powerful truths of our Lord of hosts, Yahweh Zabaoth, so that we can grasp more and more of who he is and what he has come to do. The Lord The Lord of hosts is the God of armies, as I was saying earlier. The divine title regularly appears in battle settings. David didn't drive out the invading Philistines alone. The scripture says the Lord of hosts was the one who gave victory. In 2 Samuel 5, we read, "And David became greater and greater, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him." And then, of course, out of David's own words himself in Psalm 24, "Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord Yahweh Zabaoth, the Lord Almighty in battle. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." The Lord of hosts then is a warrior God, mighty God, as we saw in verse 6. The commander, the chief who commands heaven's armies against all his enemies, against the world, and even against our flesh. But next, the Lord of hosts is also the Lord of angels. The angels that surrounded the throne of God exalted the Lord. They call out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." In Hebrews chapter 1, we read, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and ministers a flame of fire. But of his Son, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. The scepter is his power over all." And then again in Revelation 4, we see the set four living creatures. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And of course, the angels couldn't hold back at his birth, could they? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The angels knew who he was and who he is and who he will be. Do we? Also, the Lord of hosts is God Almighty. Interesting, the Greek translation of the Old Testament always emphasizes the might, the power, the military authority of Yahweh Zabaoth as the all-powerful one, the mighty God, almighty. In Jeremiah 10, there is a clear contrast between the idols in the land and the Lord of hosts. Their idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field. I love that. Their idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field. Thing about scarecrows is they can't do anything but hang. Can't speak. Can't scare anything. "There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. He is not like these. He is the portion of Jacob, for he is the one who formed all things. And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance, the Lord of hosts." Lord Yahweh Zabaoth is his name. Psalm 46, a psalm of the sons of Korah, speaks similarly. "God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts." The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The mighty God is a portion for Jacob, all that his people need, all that we need to overcome the world around us and the flesh and the temptations of Satan, but not just to overcome, but to flourish. For it's when we flourish that we're able to glorify God. But there's so much bad in the world. How do we do that? Well, it goes back to understanding who God is and what he calls us to do. What's our number one job? That's the number one job. Everything else is secondary. We seek to glorify the Lord of hosts. Everything else comes with it. The Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty. And then, of course, from our text, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, that zeal is that he does everything wisely, carefully, effectively, wonderfully. He accomplishes his will. This zeal speaks of how he works perfectly, appropriately, and full of passion. Full of passion, because his desire is a fervent desire to accomplish his purposes. The word zeal also speaks of God's jealousy. Jealousy towards his purposes. Nothing will thwart that. And if anything seeks to stand opposed, it will be dealt with, because his jealousy is righteous and right. And his will be done. This is our Lord Almighty. But finally, the name Lord of Hosts also reminds us some of the ways that God cares for his children. The Lord of Hosts preserves the elect. Isaiah 1 says, "If the Lord of Hosts had not left us a few survivors, we would be like Sodom and become like Gomorrah." And then those survivors are defined in Isaiah 10. A remnant will return, a remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. For though your people Israel should be the sand of the seas, only a remnant of them will return. And Paul picks this up in Romans 9. As in Isaiah predicted, if the Lord of hosts had not left us offspring, we would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. The elect, the remnant, those who've been chosen before the foundation of the earth, and the church prevails because the Lord of hosts not only fights for us, but the Lord of hosts empowers us to do his will. Martin Luther was inspired by Psalm 46 when he wrote these words, "Christ Jesus, it is he, Lord Zabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle." Remember that word must. Martin Luther uses it in a biblical sense. Must, a divine directive. In other words, it will happen. Nothing will prevent that. And as Jesus, the Lord of hosts, will preserve his elect, he will preserve them even to the end. Jesus himself says, "In those days, if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short." The second way that the Lord of hosts cares for his children is that he opposes injustice. We must believe that the cries of the helpless always reach the ears of the Lord of hosts. James 5 says, "Behold, the ways of the laborer who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts." The unjust try to sin in secret, but the Lord of hosts cannot be deceived and will redress every crime, for he sees all and hears all, but he shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Lastly, the last thing that we'll talk about this morning of how the Lord of hosts cares for his people is that he establishes peace. We spent a long time talking, a lot of time a couple weeks ago talking about the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace is one of his titles for which peace is given, and it is declared once the battle is won. Once the battle over sin and death is complete, won by Jesus, then Jesus' peace is given. World history is a tale of relentless war. No leader but the Lord of hosts can command a lasting peace. And only on that last day, when Christ returns, will that be accomplished. Psalm 46 again says, He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. But our passage in our section here, chapter 9, verse 5, says it well enough. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. When everything is burned, much of the fuel will be the warrior's clothing, the blood shed. The Lord of hosts blesses believers with real peace now, and at the same time teaches us to anticipate the peace of that day. When is that day? Could be today. Of course, the people in Australia would say, no, it's not, because it's tomorrow. But it could be any time. God speaks, and all will be at peace. All war will cease because the Lord of hosts says so. So with all of this in mind, Paul reminds us that we must fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you have been called and about which you have made a good confession. But it's the Lord of hosts who actually is the fighter. He's the commander that guides and leads and directs the fight that we have here on earth in His power and by His grace. Left to our own devices, the battle would be lost. So the old children's hymn actually is for everyone who knows the Lord, but also knows that He is little and believes that God is big. Jesus loves me still. Though I'm very weak and ill, from His shining throne on high, He comes to watch me where I lie. The Lord of hosts watches and hears. He knows and He acts. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Pray with me. Father, Your word encourages. Your word empowers. Your word sends us forth to speak this word to those around us. We rejoice as Your people and pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.